How are we doing, gang? We all feeling grand. We're all feeling awesome. Drew, can I grab that table up, please? Thanks, buddy. How are we all doing? Everybody recovered after SYG that was there? Do we still have any croaky voices, people that can't speak? Thanks, mate. Excellent. Alrighty, this term, we have been doing a series on evangelism, which is, at its simplest, just telling people about Jesus. It's taking what you know to be true and communicating that to others, inviting them along to youth and church and stuff like that. Who can tell me what Sin spoke on the first week?
Valley.
No, I think that was last term. First week, Singe spoke about the things that can hold us back from evangelizing, and he really pointed out that one of the biggest things can be fear, and gave us some pointers on how to overcome that. Second week, what did Laura speak on? Ooh. Excellent. Yep, there was definitely some cake. Laura spoke on the three P's, which is to plan, to process, and to be ready to pounce on any opportunity to evangelize. And 2 weeks ago, Singe spoke on how not to be weird when evangelizing, and he said that the most core part of that is to be authentic. Do not try to be someone else, but just be you and talk about what Jesus has done in your life. And I'm going to be closing out that series today. But first, I want to ask you a question. Does anybody have a favorite animal? Just yell them out. What are your favorite animals? I hear Laura yelling cats from the back there. Horses, excellent. Bunch of different animals there that are very, very popular. Now, despite popular belief, I know I have a reputation as a cat dad, but the truth is that I am just an animal lover. I like all animals. Laura really likes cats, and we have cats, and I love my cats, but I love all animals pretty much equally. You put in any animal in front of me, I'm going to be distracted for at least the next half an hour. That's just the kind of person. My shirt says I am the best cat dad. But I love all animals equally unless you are one of the animals in my no good list. And I'm going to tell you about one of those animals and why it made my no good list. There's only three animals in this list currently, and I'm going to tell you about one of them. When I was six, or about seven-ish, it's hard to tell, I'm very old, I was at church, and we, for whatever reason, it must have been school holidays, they pulled all of the youth, like the kids program, and they put it into the main church. And this lady came in, and she did a talk to all like the kids seated down the front about the parable of the sower, which is this super famous story that Jesus told his followers. And it's all about evangelism and like how that can be received by some people. And to demonstrate this idea of this parable of the sower, she brought in some wheat, which, if you don't know, wheat grains, all you need to do is you need to plant them and that'll grow wheat. So it is the wheat seed, I guess. And she just had like handfuls of wheat and she was throwing it out and showing us how like farmers in that time sowed their crops. And she finished her talking and I was like really, really interested because I'm a visual learner and like I'm seeing this lady throw bits of wheat all over the church and thinking, haha, somebody's going to have to clean that up later. And then at the end of the thing, I went, I've got some massive garden beds at home. I want to get that wheat and I want to plant it because I'm very literal because I'm six. And I've just had this lady tell me that we're meant to plant seeds. And I'm like, I'm going to get those seeds and I'm going to plant them. And I went up to this lady and I'm like, hey, could I please have the seeds? And she's like, why? I'm like, I've got these garden beds. I'd love to plant them. It'd be great. She's like, yeah, sure. They probably won't grow anything. Like, it probably won't work. If there is something that you should never have ever told eeny, weeny, teeny, tiny Timmy was that he couldn't do something. Because he will go to any length possible to prove you wrong. And to be honest, in the preceding 27 years, that really hasn't changed much. I still will go to extreme lengths to prove somebody wrong. But I took these seeds. She like gave them over begrudgingly, like, yeah, it's not going to work. I took them home. I planted them. And for the next little while, I very carefully made sure that I was watering these seeds and I was looking after them. And because I am so determined and because I guess they were good seeds, I eventually grew this crop of wheat in this garden bed at home. And it grew really tall and lovely and golden. It looked awesome. And I was really, really excited. And it was getting to the point where like we realized that we're probably going to have to like harvest it and figure out A, how to do that by hand, and B, what we were going to do with a small garden bed's worth of grain. And we were discussing it. We're like, oh, like we could try and figure out how to grind it down and make some bread, maybe. I don't know. We didn't have a good plan for it. I didn't think that far ahead. I just went, hey, wheat, let's plant it. And then I was in my kitchen talking to Mum about what, I think we were talking about what we were going to do with the wheat, and my dog goes mental out in the backyard, absolutely losing her mind. And we're like, oh, that's odd. And so we're like, we rush outside, and an absolute horde, an absolute nasty, vindictive, spiteful swarm of sparrows had descended upon my lovely golden wheat and absolutely eaten it all. And I, poor little itty bitty tiny Timmy, was heartbroken because these nasty, evil little sparrows had destroyed my wheat. And I tell you this story for two reasons. It's A, so you understand why I will have a never-ending, passionate, and completely unreasonable hatred of sparrows. And two, because this event has forever burned the parable of the sower into my brain. It's something, and that's a laptop that's gone to sleep. Excellent. It's something that's constantly stuck in my head. And the reason that I'm bringing this up is because the parable of the sower talks about how people might react when we evangelize to them, when we tell them about Jesus and when we share that good news. This story that Jesus told explains how people can kind of receive that. And if we're talking about evangelism and we're talking about the things that might stop us and we're talking about how we do it well and how not to be weird, we also probably need to talk about what do we do when evangelism appears not to work. And that's kind of what this story covers. Can I get that chucked up on screen for us? Should be the first one. Cool. This is the parable of the sower. We're not going to read through it all, but I'll just give you the cliff notes of it. Pretty much it talks about this farmer who went out to his field and he grabbed all this seed and he was scattering it all over the place because they used to just grab handfuls and throw the seed out and just hoped it all worked out. And it's talking about this farmer and he goes through and he's throwing out his seed and some of it falls on the road and the birds fly in and they grab it and they eat it and they fly off with it. He's out there and he's throwing this seed out and some of it falls into rocky soil where it starts to grow, but because it can't get its roots really deep, because it can't get down to the nutrients in the soil, when the sun comes out, when the harsh weather comes out, it all sort of just shrivels and doesn't last. And some of the seed gets thrown out and it lands amongst these weeds. And when the weeds grow up, they eventually sort of like suffocate the crop and the crop can't grow to its fullest potential. And the story goes on to talk about how some of that soil falls in really, really good soil. There's no weeds, there's no rocks, there's no birds, it's not hard, it's like perfect for sowing seeds into. And that grows into massive crops that then turn into more crops that then turn into more crops. It's a really, really cool story. But it's interesting in this story is that there's one example of when it works and then three examples as to when it doesn't. And that's kind of what we're going to dive into, is like what sometimes makes our evangelism not work out the way we think it should and what we do in those situations. So the first thing we're going to talk about is what to do when our evangelism flops, what to do when the seeds that we're going out there and we're trying to sow fall on the hard road that doesn't want to have seeds on it. And the first thing you need to remember in this, and this can look in like a variety of things. This could be somebody that's just not interested in God whatsoever. Like we go out there, we put ourselves out there, we're like, hey, do you want to hear about this Jesus person? And it could just be like people just going, no, I'm not interested in that. Christianity's not for me, it's not my vibe. You can sometimes get some like really funny reactions. Like I've had people when I've been talking about the church around, it's like, no, I can't step foot in a church, I'll burn. Like I'll catch a light suddenly from walking through the church. I'm like, in my 30 years of doing this, I have not once ever seen somebody spontaneously combust walking through a church door. I think you're fine. Nah, not interested. Sometimes you can encounter somebody that has a really aggressive reaction to it, We don't know what's going on in people's lives, and some people can have like a really, really bad experience with the church or a really bad view on Christians and Jesus, and they can have like a really aggressive, they might even like be like slightly aggressive towards you about it. And that can be really hard, and it can be really disheartening because like you've taken the brave step. You've moved forward and tried to communicate this awesome thing that you know to people, and they've just like stonewalled and gone, nah, not about it. The first thing to remember when you come across these people, when you come across these hard road people, when your attempt at evangelism flops, is that it's not your fault. You've done nothing wrong. It doesn't reflect on you in any sort of way. The thing that Jesus asked us to do when it comes to evangelism, is that he asked us to go out and tell people. He never said, go and force people to follow me. He doesn't say, make them be believers in me. He simply asked us to go and tell people. When somebody doesn't want to hear the news that you're bringing, that's not on you. You're all good. You haven't got a black mark against your name. Jesus isn't up in heaven going, oh, well, Ollie only like managed to convince 2 people to follow me this year. Guess he's going down to D-grade heaven. That's just no good. Doesn't work that way. All you're asked to do is go and tell people. In fact, Jesus himself, earlier in the book where we get this story, tells us exactly what to do when people just sit there and go, no, we don't want anything to do it. Can we get that second verse up, Felicia? It's in Matthew 10, which is like right up early in the Bible. And it's this: if any household or town refuses to welcome you in or listen to your message, shake its dust from your feet as you leave. It's pretty simple. If somebody just sits there and goes, nope, I want nothing to do with this, all you do, dust yourself off, pick yourself up, go back to your planning, your processing, and prepare to pounce on the next opportunity that comes your way. And the third thing to do, when it flops, when somebody absolutely does not want to hear it in that moment, is to not fret, because it may actually be for the future. We'll get to that in a sec. The second way sometimes our evangelism attempts don't work or appear to fail is when it fizzles. It's a weird word, but like, anybody ever built a campfire and it looks like it's about to get really, really good, and then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, it just sort of like, and like dies? Well, you sometimes have this kind of effect when you evangelize. You're like, you go to a friend, you're like, hey, man, would you like to come to youth? Would you like to meet this God person? They're like, yeah, I would love to come to youth. Let's go to youth. We'll do the mosh. We'll do the Fearless song. We'll do the games. We'll listen to the speaker. And eventually, they might even sit there and go, yeah, actually, I want to follow this Jesus guy. But then life happens, and they get distracted, and they might get a partner, or like things might happen in their family, and they might not have actually been as on fire as they appeared. And it all sort of just fizzles out. They stop coming along. They're just not as invested anymore. They don't want to talk about it anymore. What was looking to be a really healthy plant just sort of dies slowly. And it can be really disheartening because like you think you've got somebody coming along with you for the journey, and all of a sudden they're not there anymore. And that can be really, really hard. This is when Jesus is talking about the seed that falls amongst the rocks or amongst the weeds. And similarly to when it flops, when it fizzles, remember, it's not your fault. But in this phase, you've got a really good opportunity to continue to be a positive experience, a positive influence in that person's life. You can continue to be in their world and encourage them and build them up. When it fizzles out, you're still a friend with that person. It hasn't been a hard no, it hasn't been a hard block. You still have influence in that person's life, so you can still continue to encourage them. In a gardening term, we would like refer to this as dumping fertilizer on them. You can just keep like encouraging them and talking over, praying for them in private, being there for them when they go through the hard times, just constantly encouraging them to come back, doing push-ups in the middle of the auditorium. But remember, yeah, don't give up on those friends. You are called to be the light in their world. So make sure that you're constantly always in there, constantly encouraging them and constantly building them up and being there for them when they need you. And also, don't fret because it might actually be for the future. And speaking of that, what should you not do? Said it twice now. When your evangelism fails, you should not... Don't fret because it might be for the future. The thing about evangelism is that because we are so keen and because we're so excited to share about Jesus, we sometimes get into our heads that people are going to pick that up with the same energy that we're putting it down. Sometimes we can think of evangelism and planting these seeds in people's lives like they're radishes. Oh, okay, you guys don't know things about radishes. All right, radishes, these little red guys, are one of the fastest growing crop plants in the world. You can go from planting a seed to having an edible radish in 30 days. In a month, you can have an edible food source. Super quick. And this is sometimes what we can think our evangelism is like. We're like, we plant these seeds, we go around and we talk to these people. We're like, yeah, let's go. Super keen. Let's grow. Let's like it. And then like you guys, you'll be like super on fire for Jesus. And then we'll go and we'll tell more people. And we'll get a massive crop and it'll be really quick and it'll be really awesome. But it doesn't always work like that. In fact, a lot of the time, the seeds that we're actually planting are not radishes, are not quick turnaround, 30-day evangelism moments. A lot of the time, what we're planting are baobab seeds. You guys really need to brush up on your horticulture. Come on. Baobab trees. Next picture. These guys. Otherwise known as the tree from the Lion King. This is a fruit tree native to Africa. And from the point where you plant the seed for this tree to the point where it bears fruit for the very first time can be 20 plus years. To put it in context, if your parents, when you were born, decided that they would plant a seed for this tree, it still wouldn't have grown to its full maturity and it still wouldn't have brought fruit once. The thing about our God is that he's awesome and he's huge and he's big, but he operates at such a scale that we can't understand. And he operates in a time frame that we don't have a point of reference for. We're often sitting here playing, and he's off doing 4D chess, moving positions in a place, pieces into place that we won't see the effects of for years and years and years and years. When I was like 10, in the same little country city where the sowing of the seed thing happened, I went along to this performance that a bunch of the local churches in this city were putting on. I went there primarily to spend time with my dad. And he had warned me, because it was this big production on heaven and hell and like evangelism and making sure that you tell people about Jesus before it's too late. Fairly heavy topic. But I desperately wanted to go because I desperately wanted to spend time with my dad. And he's like, look, it's a really full-on like performance. If you ever feel overwhelmed or like find it's a bit much, like feel free to like step outside of the auditorium and like go get some air. I'm like, yep, I'll be fine. I'm a big, tough 10-year-old. I know how to deal with these scary things. I'll be fine. So I went along to this production, and sure enough, there was this moment where I got absolutely freaked out. Like, the play got super intense, and I got really uncomfortable and really scared. And I went, yep, all right, Dad said I could leave. I'm going to go. I'm going to head outside. I'm going to get some air because I am absolutely terrified in this moment. While I was out there catching my breath and trying to calm down, this guy came up to talk to me. And I had a good chance to have an opportunity to talk to this guy about what had freaked me out about the play and like what was going on in my head and stuff. And this guy took this opportunity to talk to me about Jesus. and explained to me about how Jesus was there for me in these like moments when I'm really afraid, and like the specific thing that was scaring me in that moment, it was exactly what Jesus came to like sort of like deal with. And that was the first moment that I gave my life to God. And if I'm honest, at that stage, it was very much shallow rock kind of faith. There wasn't deep roots there. It wouldn't be another 10 or 12 years before I'd really locked my faith down and like made it something stable. But no matter from that point on all the way through, no matter how far I strayed from my faith, no matter how many dumb decisions I made, I was constantly brought back to that moment where this guy took a chance to talk to a scared 10-year-old and tell him about the God that loved him and the God that protected him and the God that wanted the best for him. I don't know that guy's name. I don't know where he is. I don't know what's going on in his life. And he similarly has no idea the impact that he has had on my life. There's a lady who came to a church and told a story about the parable of the sower, and a kid came up and asked her for the seeds, and she has no idea that he's now on stage talking to a bunch of young people, encouraging them to tell others about God. Similarly, you will never know the full impact that you will have on other people's lives. You will never know how far your bravery to go and take the chance to evangelize to somebody will go. What might look like a failure in the moment might be something that has a great and life-altering impact 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years down the track. Again, we're not called to force people to follow Jesus. We are simply asked to go tell people, to plant those seeds, so God, who is this amazing gardener, who can take seeds that have fallen on a road or fallen in the rocks or fallen in weeds and put them in good soil and grow them into amazing, amazing people. So, when it feels like your evangelism has failed, remember that you are not at fault. You have done what you asked. Remember, if it's been really hard and you're feeling a bit grimy at the end of it, just to dust yourself off. And remember, don't fret, because your bravery in that moment might not be for right now. It might be for the future. You guys are incredible. Thank you for listening to my Tim talk. I am going to do a quick prayer for you. Father, I thank you for this group of amazing young people. I ask for you to inspire us and make us brave enough to go out there and tell other people about you. I pray that you strengthen us and guide us in that. And then when it all looks like it's not necessarily working out, that you remind us that it's in your hands and that you are the ultimate gardener and you can work anything to your good. We thank you for everything that you're doing in our world. In your mighty name, amen.